home. We are WNST. AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We are Baltimore Positive. It's one of my favorite weeks. It's Houston week around here. I always get to sing the Oiler fight song and invite people like Dan Pastorini on, which makes me very, very happy. But I'm happy to have crab cakes this week. We're going to be on Wednesday at Fadley's in Lexington Market. We'll be giving away the Raven scratch-offs, the matted tickets here. They're fantastic. I hope they're luckier than the team has been. We're going to be at Costas Inn, and I'm wearing my salmon Costas costume. Monday, we're going to be out at Costas Inn Timonium. So come on out, not the Dundalk location. And one day I'll get a crab cake with this guy. We don't get together as much as we could. He really is in the NBA life, calling games in Houston with the Rockets down there, and I think of Hakeem the Dream and Clyde the Glide, all the great Houston basketball stuff. But I'm not here to talk about the past or even the Houston Oilers. We got Houston Texans on our mind this week, and we got one gimpy outfit here: Lamar Jackson, Ronnie Stanley, Matt Ibike, Roquan Smith, Marlon Humphrey, all of that. Matt Thomas, the sports radio in Houston, where I would think you got a chance this week, right? And you guys don't beat us much. Every time I bring somebody up from Houston, you're like, we hate Baltimore, the Ravens, we never beat them. This is a week where, like, you got your best punch, man. We're really on the ropes up here in Baltimore, Matt Thomas.
This would be the greatest opportunity, perhaps in the history, going back to divisional playoff games, going back to Monday night games, going back to the last couple of years. Lamar came and ruined the Texans' day on Christmas. This would be the best shot. The Texans got fat and happy off of a horrifically bad Tennessee Titans football team. But with that being said, it's a little bit better than it was, say, the last 3 weeks of the season when they were 0-3. But there are still a lot of warts in this offense, and Cooper Rush playing probably has a lot of Texans fans pretty pleased right now.
Well, in the three losses, what concerned you the most in picking up? I mean, it's sort of like we beat the Browns too, and the Browns defense real for sure. But there is a point where you can't measure yourself against the Titans, right? The Ravens have been measured. Buffalo, Detroit, right? I
All
mean,
good ones.
and then Kansas
Kansas City,
City, and
yeah.
Kansas City's the crypt. I mean, they were favored. They were favored by 2.5 points in Kansas City, and I'm like, have you ever seen the games? And have you seen Kansas City at home? And have you seen that his team plays on the road in loud places where the defensive coordinator Steve Spagnuolo knows what he wants to do, at least against Lamar, which is a lot of these NFC teams over the last 7, 8 years have not even had a clue of what to do with Lamar. The Lions got him second time around, but now we're not even really seeing the Ravens. I mean, when I look at this front seven defensively, even going into last week's game with Roquan Smith, who wasn't playing all that great when he wasn't gimpy, this is really, really problematic. And even seeing Harbaugh's press conference on Monday after the game, he looks a little weathered because he sees the tape, he knows the players, he knows what he has. What they have on the lines, both lines right now, is not great, man.
Yeah, the fact is the Texans defense is stout. That's why this team could be much better than its 1-3 mark at this point. They were really, really good all 3 weeks. Didn't give up a bunch of points. Gave up some fourth quarter possessions, but the Rams are a good fourth quarter team. Case in point against the Colts last week. It's been their offense. The offensive line's been largely a hot mess. The running game finally didn't get going until Woody Marks did something last week against Tennessee, but it's been Nick Chubb, and Nick Chubb is way past his prime, sadly for him. CJ's been just okay. Nico Collins has had a couple of big catches, but he's been largely not necessarily forgotten about, but heavily covered. And the one thing that I would say to your Baltimore audience that should give you hope is that if you were to build an opponent's ring of honor at NRG Stadium in Houston, Texas, T.Y. Hilton's in there, and so too is Derrick Henry. That man has made a career going against the Houston Texans. Things are in the past, but I'm just saying if there's anything that's giving pause to people in Houston being worried about this game, it's again, Travis Henry still carries the football for the Ravens.
He is Matt Thomas. It's Rocket season, like soon, right? We're getting there,
Yes,
right? I
media
mean,
day was yesterday. Yes.
how many years on the Rockets for you? And you call all the games?
I do all the games. This is my 10th year on radio. I did half the P. I was half the PA announcer and then half radio. This is my 5th year doing all the radio, but I was also the PA announcer during the championship year. So overall, this is my 13th season with them, going over since the mid
Still
1990s.
doing sports radio on the road, hotel rooms, all that nonsense, right?
Absolutely. Not as good a background as you have. I don't get to go to Baltimore. Now, I can spend a lot of time at the Pentagon Mall, but I can't get to Baltimore for some reason.
Well, we don't have a team. I mean, the Bullets left like a long time ago. And we're say, so, I mean, I don't want to take you down the Wizards path. We'll just stick to football.
No.
From your perspective for the franchise, you mentioned the defense being stout and all that. D'Amico Ryans, and I know you've been there a long time. Most of the guests I've had on this week are like, yeah, I remember when he came in, second round draft pick, 06, Cap. We're 20 years down the line, and the Ravens have sort of tried to do that with Zach Orr on the defensive coordinator side here,
Right.
where, I mean, he's the chosen one. I like Zach a lot. Remember him as a player, had the game taken away from him with his neck. Even though he's from Dallas, don't hate on him too much in Houston, but the grooming of a young, smart, good football player anywhere, whether it's Mike Vrabel, who winds up being a coach in places he plays or doesn't play. But there's something different, I think, about Ryans and what that represents in sort of a new football market for Houston in having a team back and having an identity that isn't Love You Blue and Dan Pastorini and Earl Campbell, but what it's trying to be. And he brings a lot of authenticity to me from the outside. I don't know him, haven't met him. I watch the press conferences like everyone else. I look at Johnny Bravo it a little bit and say, man, that's a you got a guy that if I'm a fan there, I feel like we can build around this. And if I'm a fan my age and remember the Oilers to say, hey, he was one of the Texans that came in that was going to get this thing the right way. There's a level of confidence I have outside the organization and watching him and saying, I think he got the right coach at least.
Well, a couple of years ago, when he was open and available, he was the number one guy. I mean, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. The Texans paid very well for him. He was a super hot commodity being the defensive coordinator with the San Francisco Giants. He was one of our own. And it's so funny. You've been on with me for 5 minutes here. You've brought up the Oilers more in this 5 minutes than we brought up the Oilers in probably 5 years. The only time we ever bring up the Oilers in this market, honestly, is when Amy, whatever her name is, Adams, put the Tennessee Oilers uniform, the Houston Oilers uniforms on the Titans for a couple of years, and the Texans went up there and beat their ass twice in a row. So, other than that, we never talk about them. I am an Oilers fan. I grew up watching the Oilers. Love You Blue to the run and shoot to Warren Moon and the departure of the franchise. But generally speaking, there isn't much interest in the old school stuff. It's all about this being a Texans town. So while D'Amico is certainly recognized for his work as a great defensive coach, there have been some issues on the offensive end. And I think there's been a little bit of nervousness because we've got an offensive coordinator here in Nick Haley, who came from the Los Angeles Rams, that just can't shake the mold of being one of those old New England guys. And it's a very methodical, very plotting offense. And I think a lot of folks here would like to see things open up. My guess is CJ would as well. You just can't blame the offensive coordinator every time something goes wrong. And there has been a very mixed bag since Kaley has come over from the Rams.
Every time I see DeAndre Hopkins catch the ball, I think of skill position players, and I think, how did they ever let him get out of there? You know what I mean? After the Andre Johnson era of that. And
Right.
I mean, he's caught a ball every week here this season. He caught one that they got flagged back last week. He's caught a ball that I turned to my wife watching the game on TV, and I'm like, that's a Hall of Famer there, dog. I mean, that's a dude. And I think of Arian Foster. I think of really good skill play, even Owen Daniels, my OD, my dude. Like I think of those kinds of, where is that to complement CJ Stroud at this point beyond Nico?
Well, they brought in Christian Kirk from Jacksonville, and he's been hurt early in the season, Nestor, so that's not a solve. They went and got two second round pick draft picks out of Iowa State to be in the receiving core. We're loaded with Iowa State wide receivers for some reason. It's been okay. Dalton Schultz has played better this year. Was kind of a downgrade from last year, but has played better. And just any semblance of a running game to me was going to help out CJ. Nick Chubb, I mean, God bless him. It's like running in quicksand. He's not speedy. He's had a pretty decent start. But this is going to be Woody Mark's team for the foreseeable future. We have no idea if and when Joe Mixon comes back. My guess is, Nestor, he's not coming back this year. Whatever ailments hit him, whatever foot problems, ankle problems that the Texans have been super silent about, I don't think he's coming back. So this is a serious problem for the team. They've got to get some semblance of the running game going because right now teams are loading up. And especially when you have a below average offensive line like the Texans do, it's putting CJ Stroud in some harm's way right now.
Cooper Rush. I love the band Rush, by the way. I love Geddy Lee, Alex, Neil, love them all.
I love NFL Rush uniforms. Yes. Color
Some
rush.
of them. And dude, those Dolphins threads, they were the worst pajamas I have ever seen on an NFL team. You couldn't see that. You couldn't see the decal. It was terrible. But nonetheless, for Lamar, and I guess for not playing and what this is going to look like, my professional eyes say, well, you play in the backup quarterback, you can't expect to win. And then, Luke, my reporter here, said to me, hey, they went out, signed him, they picked him, they chose him. Why? I don't know. They thought they could win games. If this were to happen, he was their best option. This wasn't last guy out or whatever. They picked him, they paid him, they brought him in so that the two or three times a year Lamar can't go, he can win. And I would say you've seen him more recently. Concerns at all? What do you think he can do well in
I think
this
he's the
offense?
smartest. You tell me, do you think he's the smartest backup quarterback in the NFL? I would say sure, right?
Okay.
Athletically, bottom five. So I don't anticipate Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter not having a difficult time sleeping the next couple of days. I think the Texans in a low scoring, ugly football game, and we speaking of ugly, we had 6-0 at the half here against the Titans last week. That's how bad it was. I think it's going to be low scoring. I think it's going to be ugly. I think the ground game is going to make a difference. If the Texans can do anything to stop Derrick Henry, which hasn't been said very much in the last 5 or 6 years, regardless of what team he's played for, I think the Texans can win this football game. And
Matt
I
Thomas
don't
is
say that
here.
very often.
And I think the Ravens could lose this football game, and I don't say that very often. I picked against them on Sunday because how can you be a 2.5 point favorite in Kansas City? Like I'm like, until they beat the Kansas City Chiefs, I haven't seen it enough to believe in it. And now the depleted part of this, how quickly this thing, it's almost like the Orioles season. It went from like, hey, we got a chance, to what happened? And that would be something if the Texans come in. And we got the Rams next week as well. From the Texans side of things, in regard to ownership, in regard to where it is, and fans coming back, and the backside of the Deshaun Watson thing, as we have the Justin Tucker thing here, it feels like the Deshaun Watson thing, as much as you don't mention the Houston Oilers anymore, and I have my Houston Oilers gear all out for you, the old school stuff. I would think the Deshaun Watson thing feels like a long, long, long
Long time
time
ago.
ago. But from the fans' perspective about coming back and being there, has there been any brushback against the organization on that? Or did D'Amico Ryans and sort of the CJ Stroud effects sort of sanitize that, make that go away quickly?
Mean, they won back-to-back division championships. They go to the playoffs. They win wild card games. They don't do very well in divisional games. Never been to a championship game in the history of the franchise. No, there's no. It is a crisis averted, frankly. You got three first-round picks. Deshaun's been terrible since going to Cleveland. You missed DeAndre Hopkins, obviously, in that terrible trade with Phoenix or the Cardinals a few years ago. That was a more of a head scratcher. But all those people that are gone, Bill O'Brien is gone, Jack Easterby is gone. Nick Caserio, I think, has done, frankly, about an average job as a general manager. The offensive line remains a problem for the second consecutive year. I hate to repeat myself,
He's
but
just
that's
missed
just
on
the
a lot of
problem.
picks there, right?
And didn't address offensive line, went and got Cam Robinson, okay, in free agency, and then traded him to Cleveland this week for a late round draft pick. So they got Arionte Ursery, who's now left tackle. Titus Howard's going to be at right tackle. There has been a lot of shifting in that group. So that's been the main crux of things. But generally speaking, people love CJ Stroud. They believe he's a franchise quarterback. They like D'Amico Ryans. They're just very concerned about keeping CJ Stroud upright. So that to me, and I get teased because I'm not a Texans fan, and I'm just an observer, but I'm not a fan. But I'm a CJ Stroud fan, and CJ Stroud is a fan, says to me, if you don't protect the young fella, he's going to get crushed. And that's what concerns me about him staying upright this season, because this offensive line, even in a game against Tennessee, he got hit three or four times in the first half that he had a hard time getting up, and that a lot of people were holding their breath. And fortunately, he had a much better second half. The team collectively had a much better second half, and that's why I think that some of the ills of the first three games are gone, but not all of them.
Well, all the excuses are built in here with the injuries, and Lamar was getting sacked a ton. Lamar was getting trapped in the pocket a lot. There were problems here before the offensive line sort of began to collapse, and now seeing two serious defensive guys that can get after the quarterback. This is a we have a lot of purple therapy we're doing here this week, Matt Thomas. Hey, good luck to your Rockets this year and
Thank
all your
you.
travel. I hope you get a lot of Marriott points. Yeah, I hope you get some good rest. And modern NBA, it's something, right? I mean, for the largest of the game and international, the whole scope of all of it, it's quite the engine, the NBA, that we don't feel so much in Baltimore.
I understand that. All I'll say is this, in wrapping up. Number one, Kevin Durant's now a Rocket, and Kevin Durant was on my show yesterday. And look, for 15 years, I've been calling games hating Kevin Durant. when he's wearing your gear, you become a fanboy. And I try not to fanboy much on my show. I was talking about this on my show the other day. I think I fanboy three times in my life. Roger Clemens, Nolan Ryan, maybe four times, Earl Campbell, and Kevin Durant. And I've interviewed James Harden. I've interviewed Chris Paul. I've interviewed Russell Westbrook, Dwight Howard, all the NBA greats. Kevin Durant is in a special world. And I could think of him really, probably if I had a chance to interview LeBron, he'd be in that same category. But to have him wearing Houston Rockets gear, wanting to potentially end his career in Houston, it's pretty incredible. And I think it's going to be a lot of fun. Second thing, I need Zay Flowers to step his game up. My Houston Toros Fantasy Football League are off to a 4-0 start, and Zay's not done enough for me. So
Well, tell
please
Cooper Rush to get him
whisper
the
to him.
ball. Yeah, well, I mean,
Whatever, I don't care. I need him involved.
hand him the ball. I mean, that's fine. By the way, Kevin Durant was going to save the Washington Wizards for a long, long time. You know what I mean?
Yes, he
Like, that
was.
was always like that was the dream in the region for Ted Leonsis, and you know, the ghost of Abe Pollin was like he was going to come back and be the LeBron of DC. And
Well, you got Cam Whitmore, who came from the Rockets in a trade. He will score 28 points a game for you. He will stat fill. He won't get you very many wins, but he's going to stat fill for you. So he'll be fun watching him play if you happen to watch the Wizards at all this year.
they're not my Wizards, but
They're America's Wizards.
don't tell me, but I don't tell anybody this, but the Commanders play in Maryland. So when they were playing last year and the Ravens weren't, I called them our team, but I didn't really mean it, just so you know. But the Wizards, they're in DC, they're not our team.
There's so much bitterness. Is it like the same bitterness that Dallas has with Fort Worth, like Minneapolis has with St. Paul with you guys? What's up with that?
No, it's kind of like Houston and Dallas. You hate them and they don't realize you're there unless you beat
They
them.
don't even know we exist.
Right,
That's the
exactly.
thing.
That's exactly the way it works. Pat Thomas is here. Hey, I mean, I got to get down to Memphis and get some food and get out the Westheimer. And guys, last time I was in Houston, I saw Springsteen at your arena down at Toyota Center. I'm Toyota sponsored, so I appreciate that. Yeah, I love your town, and I hope to get back down there soon. See my cousin and Katie.
Maybe a wild card playoff game. You never know.
You know, at
Are
this
you know?
point, any
Wait a
playoff
minute.
game
Would
sounds
you be
good when you're one
allowed
and
in
three.
this? Are you allowed in our stadium? I'm just kind of curious. Just checking on things.
You know, I almost came to your stadium to see the great Lionel Messi play at one point. That was the last time. But hey man, I had the most bizarre, and you were there. I know you were there. Maybe you weren't there. I don't. The plague when the tropical storm came in, and there was no one in the stadium, and there were 38 people, and there were 8 people in the press box. I was one of them. So I
Wow.
witnessed the game in your. The last time I was in your stadium, I was the only one there along with the NFL team and the cameras.
By the way, we're looking for a new stadium, and the owners are like, can you all help us pay for a team that's not gone to the AFC Championship yet? That's going to be a pretty hard bargain.
Didn't they just get a new stadium?
In 2002.
We're getting old, dude. I mean, I still want them to go back into the Astrodome,
Oh, it's still there, by the way. Don't forget, it's still there.
I've seen the overhead shots. I know.
The
Yeah, I
greatest eyesore in North American architecture right now.
Come on, it's the eighth greatest wonder of the world, or whatever the hell they called it
It's
back in '65.
asbestos-filled. It's got rats. It's unbelievably bad. It's embarrassing because I love that place. I grew up in that building, but I want it down.
Let them play. Let them play. That's a little bad news bears for you there. I got to give you that because when I think of the Astros, I might get that too. So, and the Rockets going off, and Nolan Ryan, and I don't know, Jose Cruz, all that good stuff. Enes Kabel too. Matt Thomas is the man, the myth, the legend at Sports Radio. He is the voice of the Houston Rockets in the National Basketball Association, which is an international basketball association at this point. I always appreciate you, man. Thanks for coming on. Appreciate it.
Always got to be Baltimore positive with you.
That's because you want a crab cake when you come to town. I'm Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. And we never stop talking Baltimore positive.